You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hi, this is Jessica Rush.
And this is Kara Cooper. And you're listening to Mama's Talking Loud on the Broadway Podcast Network. And today we have part one of our interview with the Rockettes.
Radio City Christmas Spectacular, tis the season.
Join
us.
Happy holidays. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Mama's Talking Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. And happy holidays. Tis the season.
This is our special happy holidays episode, I guess. We have four Rockettes here who are all mothers.
Yes, they are rock stars. Talk about a busy life.
I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know how you guys do it.
Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, I know that right now you guys are in the Radio City Christmas Spectacular, and it is nonstop action. So thank you so much for coming this morning and talking to us in costume and full beat, you guys.
Because they're going to do a show straight after this.
Straight after this.
So you all know. That's the life they're living.
How are you upright? No,
we're so excited to be here.
Thank you for being here.
Yes. And to that, let's go around and you can all introduce yourselves. Maybe tell us how long you've been a Rockette and also how many children you have and how old they are.
Okay. I'm Nicole. I'm Nicole Baker. This is my 14th season and I have four kids. I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, almost 5-year-old, and a 16-month-old. Three boys and one girl.
Wow. Holy moly. Where's the girl in the lineup?
She's the third. So it goes boy, boy, girl, boy.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to come back to that. Because my mind is blown.
Hi, I'm Tara Tuberty. I've been a Rockette for 14 years. I have three children. My oldest daughter will be three in January. And I have 5-month-old twins, two more girls. So it's a full house of girls. My husband stands alone.
Wow.
I don't have words.
5-month-old twins. During Christmas.
What? And doing a million shows a day. Okay.
Hi, I'm Katie Walker. This is my 12th season as a Rockette, and I have a little girl, Hayden. She's 18 months old.
Okay. And I'm Tracy Rosatello. This is my 18th year as a Rockette, and I have a little girl who is 18 months old, and I also have a stepdaughter who's 8.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
Ladies, wait, 18 seasons, 18 seasons.
12 seasons.
Oh, 12 seasons.
And then 14 and 14.
14 and 14. Right?
Wow. So you guys have been at it for a while.
Yeah, we're veterans.
So first and foremost, you know what it's like to do Rockettes before having kids?
Yes.
And after having kids.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Would anyone want to speak to that a little bit?
Maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I just think? Can't wrap my mind around any of this.
Yeah. I mean, we can jump right in.
Yeah,
talk to us, if you would, about, you know, the difference of being a Rockette before you had your children and then after, and also just sort of, you know, did you take time off? Did you need to? I know with the season, I'm not sure if any of you, and you can let us know if you do the stuff throughout the year, if mm-hmm. you do events and appearances, because I know there's a lot of that. And if so, how that plays into everything, or if you only are doing the shows during the season. So maybe from August to January, your life is crazy. and then it slows down, you know, which.
Yeah. And you can answer, were you pregnant when you were a Rockette?
Tell us,
people are nodding. For you listeners.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different, you know, not having kids and having kids. I was pregnant whenever I did the Christmas Spectacular. I was 17 weeks by the end of the season. So that energy that is put into the show and being pregnant, it's way different than whenever you're not. But I think we all just kind of... We were actually, Katie and I were pregnant together that season.
We were due a day apart.
Yes.
Actually.
Wow.
And Nicole.
Oh my gosh. I told Nicole on opening night that I was pregnant.
I was like, I am too.
Oh my gosh. That's so
and fun. I was the only one that knew all three of them were pregnant, but they didn't know that I knew.
So I couldn't tell anybody.
So you do have the support. We actually had the support all around us with knowing how each other felt and kind of going through it together. So that was kind of cool to have somebody going through it with you, because it is a lot, and it takes a lot of energy throughout the Christmas season.
Well, I know, just I was doing a show, but when you're pregnant, in those first few weeks particularly, you are exhausted. I mean, not to mention if you are sick or you have something else going on, but like, I just remember coming home from rehearsal at 6 o'clock and going to sleep, basically.
Right,
just I was so exhausted, so I can't imagine what it was like having to do three shows in the day, four shows.
You sleep for 20 minutes when
you
can.
Yes.
Do you really just grab a nap wherever?
Whenever, on the floor.
Even before being pregnant, they called me the sleeper because like, I would literally sleep until our half hour call and then be like, okay, wake up, do my twist, and then go back on the stage. I mean, being pregnant, it was two times that. So.
Yeah, last year I actually found out the first week of shows that I was pregnant. And I felt so different from the first time, so I was just convinced that I was having a boy because I was so exhausted. And then I ended up finding out it was twins, so I said, okay, now I know why I feel so different. So that was a complete – I danced till I was 5 months pregnant with my first, and then I danced my first trimester with the twins. And that was definitely a crazy experience and exhausting for sure.
Did your body change more having twins or more rapidly?
Definitely at the end of the pregnancy, the first trimester – I was definitely more tired and I felt the symptoms a lot more during the season. But I think working was a really good distraction instead of just being at home, the morning sickness and all of that. I actually never got sick, but it definitely was a lot stronger. I'm glad the season where I got pregnant with Christmas, I finished at 13 weeks, where with my daughter, I was 20. I don't think I could have gone 20 weeks pregnant with twins. No, I couldn't have. It was definitely different in that regard for sure. So.
Even my second time around, I was pregnant with one. My first time, I did a show until I was 22 weeks pregnant, and the second time around, I only made it to 16.
Yeah.
And partially because I started showing so much
faster. Yeah, it definitely happened. Yeah. It's escalated a lot more.
I actually found, for me, the hardest part of being pregnant during the season was the rehearsal process, because it was still so early on in the first trimester, and I actually did IVF. So I was doing all these additional shots of hormones and additional medicines that had their own side effects, lots of like swelling in the feet. And so I would do, our rehearsals are 6 hours a day straight. I mean, you get an hour for lunch, but then you're dancing 6 hours a day. And out of that 6 hours, you're on your feet the entire time. There's no sitting down. There's no taking a break.
And so, in your heels, I'm
and
sure.
And in your heels. Mm-hmm. So for me, I found rehearsals to be the most exhausting and the most physically challenging. I would get home and literally just lay in our living room floor with my feet up against the wall to try to get the like swelling out of them. And my husband sometimes would, while I'm laying on the floor, like bring me pizza. Because I was just too tired and my body hurt too much to move and actually get food, but I knew I needed it. And then once we got into shows, it's still exhausting because sometimes you're doing four shows a day, but we had those breaks in between where you could take like a quick nap that you don't get during rehearsal.
Right, right.
Yeah, I found with each one of my pregnancies, the first time around was the easiest, I guess, because you're not showing And you, I always say that you're tired during the season regardless, because everyone's always like, I can't even get my, the Rockettes who are not moms are like, I can't even get myself ready. I can't even get up in the morning. I'm so tired. I'm like, but when you have a kid, you have to get up.
There's
you have
no choice.
To get
you have
going.
To have
no
time
choice.
And you
yeah.
have to plan it.
But I think with each pregnancy for me, it got harder and harder just because I feel like you know more and you feel more. Like you're in your mind, you know what's happening and how you're feeling. And then we all came back. Like I came back. My quickest coming back to work was my daughter. I was 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks out, and I came back to work.
What?
But
that's yeah,
came we back.
All, that was crazy.
She yeah. was a little crazy.
Oh my gosh. But we all came
we
back.
We were all like, we all what are you back. Doing?
Yeah, I know.
But we all came back under
but we
four
all came
months,
back,
think,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
right
all of our kids.
4 month
yeah.
mark.
Mm-hmm. 2.5 weeks?
What? I had a doctor's approval.
Wow. Wow. Were there any accommodations made for you? Were you in rehearsal at that point?
We were in rehearsal. We were in the rehearsal for the spring show.
Okay.
So it's a little different process. I mean, we still rehearse 6 hours a day. But I had a lot of support from everybody. Like, if you need something, let us know. And like I said, I had doctor's approval. If I didn't feel good enough, strong enough, I would not have come back. But I think the third time around, she was my smallest baby. She was only 5 pounds. So I don't know if that made a difference, but I feel like it was easier.
Okay. Like each well, pregnancy. You'd done it before.
Yeah, like my body knew how to kind of get yeah. back.
That's yeah. amazing.
Wow. Were you nursing?
I was.
And so you were pumping then?
I was pumping.
During rehearsal?
I didn't. She got the least from me. I only was able to like nurse and pump 3 months.
Well, you did
because I went
that.
Back so fast. I feel like it. Yeah. Yeah. I lost.
Yeah, for sure.
It's hard to keep eating enough food to produce. Although some of you, like Walker, you produced a lot.
I nursed until 13 yeah. months because my daughter had some allergies. So for me, it was just the easiest way to avoid them. So I was pumping during the Christmas Spectacular last year. But it's a challenge because you only have an hour in between shows. So you're like, I need to pump and eat. And there would definitely be times where I was getting ready for the show and I'm like, oh gosh, I forgot to pump or I forgot to eat, because sometimes you can only get one in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I ate a ton. Like I was always, you know, asking for like, what are foods to help produce? And especially because once you start working out, everything kind of changes yeah. your supply mm-hmm. dips. So I was always asking other moms or searching or talking to, you know, consultants about what can I do to help this.
Well, I think you said too, before we even started, you said something about you think there was a day you probably pumped like 7 times. Like at the height of the
yes.
season, right?
Because yeah. we do, not only do we do our shows, but we also have so many outside events that we do. I think it was a day that I left my house at like 5 a.m. and I didn't get home till maybe midnight.
Yeah.
And so I needed to pump enough for her for the next day and all the times that I would normally nurse her. So it was about every 2 hours that I was pumping.
Oh.
So it was kind of just nonstop. At that point, she was 6 months old.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's crazy because whenever we're just doing the season and weren't mothers and not pumping, you're eating so much just to do your shows and stay active for your shows, and then put pumping on top of that. And
the caloric intake is like,
it's like what Michael Phelps probably needs to
do. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Did you see that article where they talked about how much he had to eat
yes.
in order to keep up with his workouts? I feel like if you're a nursing mom and a Rockette, like you have to eat like Michael
That's
Phelps.
That's funny yeah. because our athletic trainers in our media day, like our training, they show that
his diet.
They did.
Oh,
yes.
really?
Hilarious.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm so impressed because I know that when I went back to work, my daughter was 4 months old and I breastfed her until she was 13 months as well. Mm-hmm. But keeping my supply up once I went back to work was so hard that I got up in the middle of the night and
wow.
pumped
yeah.
even
yeah.
though she was sleeping through the night.
Oh gosh.
Because I was like, I have to fool my body yeah. into making enough milk. And I look back on that now and I'm like, what was mm-hmm. I thinking?
I sleep when they sleep.
Like, what is wrong yeah. with me?
I know there was one time, 1 week where like I suddenly wasn't really making any and I was freaking out. And so like at the theater during my break, I text my lactation consultant. I was like, what do I do? And she goes, just eat. I don't care what you eat, just eat. So I literally went across the street and bought pints of ice cream. And I just ate pints of ice cream for days.
I didn't know that.
Literally within like 4 days, I was back to normal.
So, oh my God.
That's incredible.
I was like, great, I'll go eat ice cream with this.
I only made it to 6 months because, I mean, once we started the shows and the intake and everything, yeah. I didn't produce a lot to begin with. So it just kind of dwindled down. So,
well, you know, any way fed
exactly.
is best, right?
Exactly.
Anyway,
whatever
you can do.
Care of.
Absolutely.
Nursing, formula, anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
for sure.
For sure. So kudos to making it as long as you did.
There's a part of me that's like, ooh, if I have to eat a lot of cat,
maybe I should go be a Rockette. Instead of having like hummus on a rice cake.
And everybody always asks us, they're like, oh my gosh, what do you guys eat? Do you like, I mean, yes, we try to eat healthy and try to keep the healthy diet, but whenever you're going into your third and fourth show of the day, sometimes, you know, a slice of pizza or two is the best thing to have. Yes. Or some cookies.
Cake. For me, they always tease me because it's more of what sits well for me.
Yeah.
Like we're jumping around and being so active all day long. It's almost like, what can I eat that's just not going to make me feel
sick.
Yeah.
or bloated.
So yeah. I feel like it's so hard to eat like salad. Yes. I'm always like, oh, I should eat a vegetable, but I can't go do a show after I've had a salad.
No, you can't.
It feels terrible.
It does.
That was a big change too. I don't know how you guys were when you were pregnant. Like, I love chicken. When I was pregnant, I could not even look at chicken. It was the one thing that was like, don't even show it to me. I don't want to be in the same room as it. Mm-hmm. And all I wanted to eat was beef and cheese. So doing shows, like, you're trying to be healthy and like salads were not appetizing. I literally just wanted like a bowl of ground beef.
Oh my gosh.
Every day.
like rice-a-roni or hamburger helper or something.
The cravier, but then I also had, I think probably the main symptom I had was I had insane heartburn. So it'd be like, that's all I crave. But then I had this insane heartburn and then you have to go to a show. So that was definitely a big change and challenge
working
while pregnant was figuring out what to eat but not suffer from
this one. Tracy, all she wanted was watermelon. She'd come down from catering and have a plate full of watermelon, which
was the best thing in the whole fruit, any type of fruit, like, was the most.
Well, with watermelon you get the, you know, you get liquid.
Hydrated. There's some sugar,
some
vitamins
in it. It's good. It's a good one. It's a good craving.
But now my daughter loves fruit. So maybe
there you go.
I don't know.
Put aside the watermelon for Tracy.
I'll take the whole plate.
That's what's so awesome. I mean, you guys sitting here talking, it just makes me think of, you know, Kara and I shared a dressing room for better part of 6 years at Jersey Boys together. And there's that sisterhood, right?
Oh,
I mean, because sitting here watching you talk to each other and sort of pointing to remember things about what this one did and that one. And I think that's what's most special. Right. And the fact that a couple of you got to be on the journey together, or three of you, I mean, my goodness, you know each other so well and you take care of one another. Right. So it's like you just said, put the watermelon aside for Tracy.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what it is. And you know those things about each other, and you know each other's children, and you've watched each other become mothers.
Yep.
I mean, you all started before you were.
Yes.
And so, and especially that was a long, so for like 16 of the 18 years, right? You were pre-baby.
Yes, exactly.
And so, I mean, what a journey that's been to then.
And it's so different from whenever I started, and just to see like the track of where the Rockettes were and where they've been. And now we're all moms and we've been doing it. As you can see, there's a lot more that have been there for, you know, 12, 10 plus years. So it's great to, you know, see everybody's life and everybody's journey and kind of work through it together.
Yeah, it's such a family.
And, yeah, the sisterhood, unit, right? And being in the dressing room, like you said, the dressing room is so there's so
fun.
Many stories just from the dressing room.
I'm sure.
You know what I mean? Or you walk in, and if you're having a bad day, then you walk into that dressing room, and sometimes that bad day just kind of goes away, or you can let it all out, and those women are there to hear it
and wipe your tears and give you a hug.
And yes, of course,
and validate it.
Specific work environment. I don't think anybody who hasn't experienced it has a frame of reference. Like, we go to work, and we're in a small space with people. And it's very vulnerable. We change our clothes, we prep for our day, and whatever's happening during the day, it's not like we're sitting in an office cubicle and we can kind of shut out the rest of our colleagues or whatever. It's so hard not to keep things under wraps. And so I think these incredible relationships form from it, you know, and whether or not they continue, like Jessica and most of the girls, all of the girls who were in the Jersey Boys dressing room are all still very close. You have a connection to that person for the rest of your life, no matter what it is, you know?
Yeah. And we leave, Nicole and I are in the same dressing room, and we leave work, and then we spend the rest of the night texting
each other.
Sometimes my husband will be like, you just saw her. There's so many things we have to talk about. But I will say, too, Nicole is honestly probably one of the main reasons that I knew I could do this job and have a kid.
She make me cry.
She was one of the first ones.
She was one of the first ones.
Pregnant and come back.
How old's Nate? Nine?
Nine.
So 9 years ago, I was with her in the same dressing room when she was pregnant. And watching her have 1, 2, 3 kids, like, it makes you realize you can do this. And so then when I decided, when my husband and I decided it was time for us to have a kid and she got pregnant at the same time, it was so fun to go through it with her kind of every stage. And she would help me, and sometimes I would even help her, like, through things. But it's really because of her that I thought that this job is possible to do with a family.
And you're so vulnerable, I feel like, in your first, especially your first trimester. Like, you don't want to, so many things, can go in so many different directions, so you don't necessarily want to tell people right away. Right, yeah. So these are the women that you tell. We're with each other every day, all day long, doing this insane job. Like you said, you're so vulnerable already, especially now being pregnant. You're dancing, you're changing costumes. So these are the people that we tell. I mean, Tracy was the first person that I saw when I came from the doctor that I found out I had twins.
I just had to laugh because I was just like, what is happening right now?
And I'm not going to lie, I was crying. And she thought something, God forbid, went wrong. And so when I told her, she was so relieved, obviously. But these are the people in our lives that, like, find out that information, like, firsthand. And experience it with us. So it's really, a sisterhood.
And your emotions. Like, and your emotions. Going through it.
The day-to-day.
The hormones. Yeah. Or if, like, you have a bad morning and you walk in and you just want to, like, scream at somebody. Yeah. Tara, you're the one I'm screaming at, because it's usually what happens. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I sit right next to her in the dressing room. And so it just... Or those, she hears everything.
Or they're the ones that you roll your eyes at when the people who don't have kids are like, I'm so tired.
Yes. You're not allowed to say that.
Yes. Sometimes they'll look at me and they'll be like, oh, so sorry, I just said I'm so tired. I'm like, it's fine. This is my life.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. You can totally be tired, but also know your audience. That's true. Yes. Know your audience
a little
bit.
That is very true. And it is tiring without kids, too. Right. And you kind of just, like, transform your life into what it has to be. Mm-hmm. Waking up an hour and a half earlier just to get everything ready for the day, for the caregiver that's going to be there and stuff like that. So it's just kind of working.
You find your new normal.
Well, and people say that, people in our shows, they'll say, I don't know how you do it. And I could never get up early and do that. I was like, but you don't have a choice.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
If you decide to have a kid, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. So,
And I think it also changes how you approach just everything else. Like, not that we go in and give anything less than we would have before we have kids, but I think it's easier for us to just having a little perspective on life as a whole. If your show is not your best show ever, you don't leave like wanting to cry. You're like, that wasn't my best, but I gave it 100% when I was here, and now I'm gonna go and be a mom. Like, so it just adds a little perspective. It's easier to let things roll off if something goes wrong or you don't feel great. You just let it go because you have to, and you know that your day's not over just because you didn't have the best show you've ever had.
It's just beginning.
Yeah.
I always try and say, like, I leave my house as a mom, and then when I get to work, I'm the Rockette, and then I try and leave the Rockette there, go home to be the mom, because you just try and be the best version of yourself in everywhere, and if you keep crossing it over, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. But there are definitely times, like in rehearsals or even in between shows, like you get back to your phone, there's like a million text messages. Or for me, my kids are older, so teachers, or it's like conferences, so it's definitely like a juggling act, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
No. And there's no right way. We all differently, whenever we go home, and we learn from each other too. So I think it's great. Like, I come in and I'm like, well, I did this, and oh my gosh, like, she's not doing something that I thought she would be doing, but they can give me like some tips and stuff like that. But some people, my child doesn't go to sleep until like 9:30 because sometimes I want to come home and spend some time with her. You know what I mean? But other people are different.
Well, at that age, I know. I feel like me and Nicole are very similar parents.
Yeah.
Like,
Tracy
and I have the same.
I'm like, I'll leave earlier so they don't see me and I'll get home. But not because I don't want to see them. But like, if I...
It disrupts the...
It's just easier.
If I get home at dinner time, bedtime, it's like, my Lord.
Yeah, but we...
Me and Nicole are very similar in our perspectives. It's like, it's okay. You can put them to bed. I'll see them in the morning.
But we also have 3 and 4. They'll get there.
They'll get there. When mine was small, she used to stay awake. She would take a nap, I remember, until like 9:30. She would nap late. And then so that way she'd be up because my husband and I are both actors and we both would get home late. And so then she would be up at 11 mm-hmm. when we got home and we'd hang out for a little bit. But then she would sleep in. Right. She would sleep in till 9.
It works with your schedule.
So for our schedule, it was great. But we both have. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Last night.
We were both at a party last night and we both stayed too long
with our kids. Yeah.
And we just didn't leave until 8 o'clock. Tomorrow morning's going to be a disaster.
But it was fine.
It was fine because I left my house and my husband was taking care of me.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Well, and that's the thing. You mentioned the caregivers. Are you guys, you know, like I just said, my husband and I are actors. Kara and Graham are both actors. And so our schedules tend to be very similar. But are you married to people who have, quote unquote, normal jobs?
My husband's a real estate attorney in the city. So, and especially during the holiday season and even in not the holiday season, he's always out late. Mm-hmm. So we have a nanny that's with us. She works probably 60 hours a week when I'm working.
Wow. Does she live with you guys?
She does not. She will if she needs to. Mm-hmm. She lives in the city, Jersey City. But she's amazing. I mean, she's like the mom because we are not there at all. And if we need family help, feel like I have a list of babysitters just in case because for us, during the Christmas time, I don't want to miss a show. So my nanny has three kids as well. Oh, so if one of her kids are sick or if she's sick, it's like, because you don't want to miss. And my husband doesn't want to miss work. So I feel like we always have like a list of like backups. Mm. But it takes.
I'm sure. And then that list runs out sometimes. Sometimes you go through that list. Oh my gosh. And then there's no one.
We always joke that maybe we'll just bring them to Radio City and have them dress.
They should have like a room.
I say that. I wish.
They should have a room.
It'd be great for young, but when they get older.
Right. Well, they have school and stuff. Yeah. But until, you know, four or so, I mean, you guys, and then you could see them.
You wouldn't have to pump. You could literally just feed your kid.
Yeah. Who does that? Like Home Depot or somebody? I don't know. But like some other corporations have like.
Can do it. I mean,
not at the stores, you know, corporate. But a friend of mine works for them. But you know, it's like to have that space. We've talked about that with Broadway because our schedule, there's no daycare at night.
Right. You know? Such a weird schedule.
But so you were nodding. Wait, whose husband?
My husband is in. He's in sales. He's in insurance. So he's a 9-to-5 as well. And thankfully, we're the day cast. Radio City. Oh, we have two casts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thankfully, having that opportunity to work kind of mostly during the day helps out extremely. I know that Katie's been the night cast before.
Right, last year.
When she had the baby. So, I mean, you know, you adjust schedules regardless, but that definitely helps. I have a nanny, but I also have my family that helps because I'm from New York originally, both my husband and I. So thankfully we have family close by. I was just literally in the car over here texting my sister, trying to make her come pick up my daughter because the nanny, so it was a juggling act.
Like, is everything okay?
I was like, yes, I'm just trying to get somebody to pick Ava up, but she's going to sleep over tomorrow night because I have to be here super early. And then, so yeah, it's just a juggling act. So it's always, like you say, going down the list, but thankfully I have family that's close by too, so.
Yeah, my husband is a chemist, works like 9-to-5, but his job is super, super flexible. We do have a nanny, again, because daycare hours, like when I am home, I want to be able to see her and not have her in daycare. So we have a nanny, but my husband can work from home. It's great, like 2 to 3 days a week, or he can kind of make his own hours, even though it's technically a 9-to-5 job. Mm. And then also my mother, she lives in North Carolina, but she usually comes up for like 6 weeks during this season to be there as well.
Well, especially your baby's still small. They're so cute.
I mean, of course, loves it.
Grandma will be like, "I'll be right there."
She's like, "You need me, right?" Uh-huh. I'm like, "Well, he's home.
And yeah,
but yes, we need you."
Exactly, exactly.
And my husband, he is actually a crew guy.
Oh.
He's in props.
So at Radio City?
At Radio City.
Oh, no way. Oh.
So that's where we see each other. He actually works every show. So we are in the, we call it the blue cast. So one of the casts that does the morning shows, but he does every show. So he's there super late every day. But he's originally from New York. So my in-laws take care of Sophia whenever we're not there, which we're so happy and thankful for. And then my parents come up every other weekend. They try to come up every other weekend.
From where?
During the season. Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Originally Pittsburgh. That's...
You kind of just touched on it, right? So the blue cast and the gold cast. Let's talk about how Radio City functions so that anybody listening can kind of understand what that schedule looks like. Take it away.
So like a normal day, like today's the other cast's day off. So we're going to do all shows. So today we have three shows. Sometimes we'll do four, even five. Usually an 11, 2, 5, and an 8. Today we'll have a 2, 5, 8. Our normal day would be an 11 a.m. and a 2 a.m. Sometimes we'll do 9 a.m., 11, 2 p.m. Sorry. My gosh.
Like
Mom brain. I know. I was skipping ahead already. On the weekends we'll do 9 a.m. sometimes. So every day is pretty different. But most of the time we're doing morning shows.
And except for Tuesday, we're usually out but by 4, 5.
Okay.
Another cast comes in and does like the 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. through the night. They even have a 10 p.m. sometimes. So
generally, how many shows do you do a day?
Two to four. Roughly 16 a week.
Okay.
But on top of that, so yes, we do have like two casts. But on top of that, we're also doing events before and after our shows, obviously.
You mean like this morning, right?
And then we have tree lighting. We're just on SNL.
Oh, yeah, I saw you guys.
It's so fun.
Oh, that's fun.
And or the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which we're also having rehearsals for before and after our shows as well. So it's not necessarily we are done with our shows and we leave. Sometimes we're there till 8 o'clock doing rehearsal.
Sometimes
I think you guys have some rehearsal.
Well, and so, and that continues through the whole season probably, right? Because it's the holidays and everyone
it
wants
dwindles
to see
down like at the end, like a lot of our crazy events are in the beginning. And then there are events that last until January, but...
And they kind of pop up week by week.
Yeah.
So even if we have our schedule organized with, you know, childcare and our spouses and whatnot, an event will pop up and we're like, oh, okay, now I have rehearsal, you
in
know, tomorrow
yes.
from 4 to 8. Now what do I do? So then you have to just kind of, you know,
like the Saturday Night
go
Live,
work through
I got the email in the morning at 8:30 and then the rehearsal was that night. So I called my in-laws and was like, are you guys okay to watch her until 9 tonight and then I won't be home until midnight tomorrow night because I will be on the show.
Yeah. Right.
So
it's hard. That's definitely an added factor too. Like with, I think our outside lives, like, spouses, family. Like when we did an SNL, we, like Tracy said, we got the email at 8 a.m. on Friday morning that we had rehearsal that night and we're doing the performance the next night. I was supposed to have like my husband's holiday work party on Saturday night and I had to say, you know, I'm sorry, but I
well,
can't
I'm gonna
go
be
with
SNL.
You.
It's a good excuse.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a good excuse. So not only are we like making sacrifices, not seeing our kids a lot right now, but our families are also making huge sacrifices within that, because you know I know like they want us there and he would love for me to go. I've never been able to go with him and this year we were so excited to go, but then this opportunity came up, which is so amazing, and he's, you know, he's like, no, take it, you know, you need to do that, it's so fun, they'll always be next year. So I think also we miss out on a lot, but they miss out on a lot of things with us too. But for us, we just know this is the life temporarily for a few months in the crazy season, and then we get back to normal life come
the
January.
Guys get to step up a little bit.
Yeah. For me on the weekends, my kids have so many activities at home. All the parents are like, we can't believe Andrew, like he's out with all four kids, taking them like to all the games and he's doing such a good job. And I'm like, yeah.
You mean like what I do all year long?
Right. Cool.
What
but I do he all does. Year he's, long. Yeah, he's good at it, I must say.
Yeah. I know, Tommy just brought the kids in to see Santa on Sunday, his day off. And I was working, so right after the shows, we saw Santa and everything. And I'm like, wow, you got them in their dresses. They have tights on. You didn't brush their hair, but I have a brush right here, so it's all good. We're fine.
So you kind of touched on it. Let's talk about, obviously, the holidays are a crazy season when you're not a Rockette. I mean, I know for myself, like I am super stressed out this time of year. There's just so much to take care of. And I think being a parent just kind of compounds that, right? You
the holiday season is geared towards children, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you do leading up to knowing that this is ahead of you, and how do you make it special for your kids even though you aren't around for a lot of things? Are there things that you, especially for you guys who have had a little bit more experience, I know you guys have young babies and will continue to learn, but I feel like when you have older kids who are in school and have holiday concerts and Christmas parties and this and that or whatever it is, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think for the first time my kids this year, my older two, my 9-year-old and 7-year-old, they're like, oh, you're missing so much. You can't go to my games. You can't go. My son did chorus this year and I missed his chorus little. He sang one song. But so I think they're, as much as they understand, they're more aware, which is, it's like good and bad. Mm-hmm. But my husband can go. My nanny goes. They also have like a holiday shop at their school and they're so excited to like, but I can't go help them buy whatever they want to buy. So my nanny will go. Luckily, I have an awesome relationship with her and she's like family. Sometimes they want her more than me.
Has she been with you a long time?
It'll be 4 years in March.
Okay. Wow.
So yes, she has been there almost, yeah, so a long time. Mm-hmm. And then for the holidays, I'm Jewish, so we celebrate Hanukkah. So for me, I feel like I'm a little not as stressed as everybody else.
That's great. I'm jealous.
Although you have to buy 10,
I
no,
know.
7
I have
presents.
8 gifts. No, eight. I have it all. I have over 8. Yeah. My kid's like, you don't always buy 8. You buy more. And I'm like, I know, but you're only supposed to get 8, but I do have more. But like even wrapping them, they're like sitting in my room. My nanny's like, I'll do it for you. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. But even that, I mean, I took out the Hanukkah stuff for to have them decorate, but then I didn't have the right tape. So then I have to go to the store to get the tape to hang this stuff. So, I mean, I feel like I'm less stressed because I'm Jewish, but it's still crazy.
It's still holiday.
It's still holidays. Like yeah. Thanksgiving, I actually had off this year. We had off. So mm-hmm. I was home for them. Then Hanukkah, I'll be home except for maybe
at
one
night.
Or two nights.
That's perfect.
So it's nice.
That's great.
That's really lovely.
So that's nice.
That's lovely.
Yeah, so this is actually the first year that Ava kind of understands Christmas. She'll be 3 in January, so it's super exciting, but it is adding another element because I feel like I am kind of missing out on a little more. She's in school, so she has a holiday show coming up next Friday, and she had like a Halloween thing, and we were in rehearsal, so I was able to make it, or tech, so it was in the morning I was able to make it, but I won't be able to make this holiday performance, and I'm like, I'm so sad. I'm talking to my husband. He's going to go, which is great. But the thing that I try to tell myself is, like, as much as she will know I'm not there, she really won't remember long term that I'm not there. So, like, as you know, while we're here and we're at work and the things that we're missing out on and we're not seeing them, like, some days with the little ones, like, we'll be gone for 12 to 15 hours. So, like, you're gone before they wake up and they're in bed before you get home. So, there's days where we won't even see them. But we always tell ourselves, like, it's harder for us than it really is for them. You know, we know that they have a great support system between our husbands and our family and my mom and my sister. Like, I know that they're taken care of with people that they want to be around and that they love. So I'm the one that I know that is the one that's having the hardest time. But also I'm doing what I love. Like, this is what I need for me. I went back to work because I chose to go back to work. I love my job. So as hard as it is sometimes, I know that it's best for everybody.
It's the mom guilt.
Yeah.
I feel like you had that in
and it never
time.
Goes away. And I know it'll never go away. And as she gets older and as all three of them get older. But you just adjust for different things. But I'll be home for Christmas this year. I won't be for Christmas Eve. But so I know at least I worked all day last Christmas. And I was like, okay, she doesn't really know I'm not there yet. But this year I know she would know. So we'll have Christmas Day this year, which will be great. So
that's good. I know it's hard. It's, you know, I worked away. I worked in California for 3 months when Elliot was 3. Oh. She had just turned 3. And she doesn't even remember that now. Really.
Right.
Do you know what
right.
I mean? Like at the time, you know, and FaceTime has changed everything, but you tell yourself they won't remember it, but they really won't.
They really won't.
You know what
they
I mean?
Really
and
won't.
Their sense of time at that age is so like ambiguous. Like they don't even know, you know, what's a whole day?
Right.
What's
right.
an hour?
And when she's like, Mommy,
you know,
why are you going to work? I say, but Mommy has to go dance. Remember? Like she's come to the show and she's come every year, but this year I feel like she really kind of gets it. So I'm like, Mommy has to go dance. Remember? Like you came to see me. And then she gets excited. Like, so she knows kind of what I do. So I kind of twist it on her and be like, no, Mommy's going to go work and dance and see Santa.
And wear the sparkly dress.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm
get
sure
dressed
she
up
just,
and
oh my
stuff.
Gosh.
So I know it makes her happy to know, like, and she'll look back and be like, I can't believe, Mom, like, when she gets older that you did this.
When she gets it, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I try to make sure whenever we do have things that are extra, like, on TV, I always record it. I mean, she's 18 months old, but she says mommy work, rackets, dance, kick.
Yeah.
So she's already seen the show. She knows I'm leaving for work. So when I tell her I'm leaving for work, she always says, mommy on, and she gets the remote. And she wants to put on like a recording of the parade or a recording when we performed on the Today Show. And my nanny will text me that they've watched it 50 times over and over. And she's trying to dance with us. So for me, I kind of feel like maybe in a way she thinks like I'm there with her dancing and she's playing with me, even though I'm not physically there. I also try to make sure I have, you know, I have a huge family with my in-laws, very, very large, and there's always holiday parties. So I don't get to go to those, but I always make sure that I have it figured out so that my husband can take her. So she doesn't miss out on playtime with her cousins. We're very lucky. We have cousins that live 5 minutes down the road. She has a 3-year-old cousin that she's obsessed with. She wakes up saying her name. So I always try to plan things with them so that she still gets a normal day in or like a normal life, even though I may not be there for it every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sophia's just kind of getting it. Like Katie was saying that I'm a Rockette. We were watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade together. I was behind her having a cup of coffee because it was the other, it was the other cast that was doing it. And she pointed at the TV and was like, mama. And I'm like, no, I'm right here behind you. Kick all you want. This is great. But on the other hand, like trying to spend as much time with her as I possibly can, whenever I'm not in the theater, I shove everything into my day off. Obviously, it was Tommy's day off on Sunday. He brought the girls in. We saw Santa Claus. We had dinner. We went home. We made gingerbread dough to make on Thursday, which is our next day off, to make gingerbread cookies. So it's kind of like shoving everything into our days off to make sure that they can spend, you know,
quality
the holiday.
Quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Right?
For sure. The things that we do for the holidays, you know, yes, they do that with that, you know, my in-laws and my parents and stuff like that, but we want to enjoy that as well. And, you know, there's a lot of, for me, there's a lot of buying gifts online.
Online shopping.
Thank you, Amazon.
Is the best thing it's the only ever way to for do me it. Right now. Yep.
I have not gone to a store yet, but I'm done with the Christmas shopping.
And we will have 4 shows on Christmas Eve, which won't bring us home until about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
Midnight.
So,
or midnight.
I'll probably be wrapping gifts until about 3 a.m. And then we will have the morning. So we have 2 shows on Christmas Day, but we'll have the morning to open the gifts and then come in and do 2 shows.
Mm-hmm. I'll be doing my show that night with you. I have a show on Christmas Broadway night. Yeah. Broadway, we have Christmas Eve off. Most shows take Christmas Eve off.
Okay.
Which is sort of lovely because Christmas Eve, I feel like, is
it's really when the stuff happens.
Yeah, and then on Christmas Day, you know, by the time you open the presents and you do the thing and you relax, and then there's that like lull in the afternoon and then it's all over.
I'm gonna go to work.
So it's like, well, I'll just go to work. I'll go do the show. And you're all in it together. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
right,
the thing
yeah.
is with the holidays, you know, you go to work and you see your other family, you know, and then you're all there together. Mm-hmm. I remember I was doing a show and somebody was going to take off on Christmas. And I was like, you better not, because don't you know, all of us don't want, you know, we'd all love to take off.
Exactly.
On Christmas.
Yeah.
I got a little judgy on that, though. But it's true.
We actually do, because for the holiday season, we do have like a lottery system where we like put, if you want the day off, you put, people put their names into a hat and then.
Well, that's
fair. It was just the moms.
It was just the moms this year that did it.
Really?
I asked for 8 days of Hanukkah.
I know. No, I'm kidding.
Katie and I actually have got, we
won the lottery.
Nice. I think that's super fair.
So I'm a swing, so I will be on for Tara.
Thanks, Trace.
Well, and you were saying that with Hanukkah. I mean, but you're on the day schedule this year, right?
Yes.
So you'll have your nights of Hanukkah?
I forget the exact, our schedule with the days of Hanukkah, but there might be like, I'll be home for most of the nights.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Oh, well, that's hard. That's tricky because it's so much longer that you have to, you know what I mean, to spread out.
Yes.
It's like, not just one day. You know, you're like, well, but I want to be there for, you know.
Well, I always, my kids are like, oh, you have to go today. And I'm like, I only have like 55 shows left. Like, it's almost over. Like, for them,
that's not bad.
No, that's not bad. And they're like, my oldest Nate's like, that's not a lot. And I'm like, I know, but I already did 55.
Right. And also, 55 in a certain amount of days.
Well, right. Like, for them, they have a calendar they check off, like, so they can be aware of when I'm ending, when I'm starting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fun for them.
That's the thing.
It's like 10, 9.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, it's, you were saying how your oldest are more aware this year. And I would say that that's something that I'm starting to find. My daughter's 5. And so they're starting to be that sort of, you know, why do you have to go to work? Mm-hmm. You know, they're so, they've known what we do,
right?
But it now is impacting their life in a different way. And I think so much of that has to do also with the fact that they're in school. Mm-hmm. And so we don't see them during the day. Right. You know, I used to say when they're little, our schedule's awesome because we have the day free and then we go to the theater at night, you know, for the most part, when they're sleeping. But now with the holiday events, with school and everything, it's harder to juggle it.
It is.
And also now that they know what it means. They're aware. Right. There.
I always try and say, like Tara says, if I don't go to work, then you can't come see me on stage. They love coming.
You also can't go to Disney World.
Right.
You have no money.
Exactly.
But you know
what I mean. But it's true. It is so true. But in I guess 9 years, my kids have been involved in some PR, so in pictures or magazines, and my kids love that, and they'll bring it into their classroom and they'll show their teacher. So I'm like, if I don't go to work, then you might not be able to be a teacher.
No show and tell this year.
Like Tara said, they'll realize whenever they're older.
Yeah.
That
how cool it was what we did.
How special it is.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of our episode of Mama's Talking Loud with the Rockettes. Stay tuned for part two. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our super theme song,
our producer Dory Berenstein, and of course the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you. Have a good one.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.